Have you ever wondered why some companies inspire fierce loyalty while others leave us perpetually frustrated?
In a world where 80% of jobs and GDP come from service industries, why is great service still so rare?
Francis Fry and Anne Morris tackle this paradox in their groundbreaking work that has transformed how companies like Zappos, Southwest Airlines, and Four Seasons approach customer experience.
Since its publication, this book has become required reading at Harvard Business School and has influenced service design at companies worldwide.
Even celebrities like Oprah Winfrey have praised its insights, noting that understanding the trade-offs of service excellence is game-changing for any business.
The book's core revelation, that service excellence requires deliberate design choices rather than heroic effort, has revolutionized how organizations approach customer experience in our service-dominated economy.
The most profound insight about service excellence is also the most uncomfortable. You can't be good at everything. This truth contradicts our natural instinct to please everyone in every way. Commerce Bank, now TD Bank, built its remarkable success by deliberately choosing to be bad in the service of being great. They hired friendly, enthusiastic people who lacked technical banking skills, but delivered exceptional customer experiences. Their branches stayed open late and on weekends, offered free coin counting, and welcomed dogs with treats. To accommodate this trade-off, they drastically simplified their product offerings, essentially just selling checking accounts, making them last in the industry's cross-sell metric, but first in pleasant branch experiences and customer satisfaction.
This pattern of strategic underperformance appears consistently across successful service organizations. Southwest Airlines excels at low prices and friendly service, while deliberately underperforming on network reach and amenities. They don't offer assigned seating, meal service, or first-class cabins, but maintain industry-leading on-time performance and baggage handling. Walmart sacrifices sales help and ambiance to deliver on low prices and wide selection, investing heavily in supply chain efficiency rather than store aesthetics. The microfinance platform Kiva connects donors directly to entrepreneurs while sacrificing donor education and recognition events, focusing resources on their core mission of facilitating loans rather than donor engagement programs. Most companies face two options: try to be good at everything and achieve mediocrity across the board, or make strategic trade-offs to excel where it matters most. Only rare exceptions, like the Hotel Cipriani in Venice, which commands a 50.
Product managers intuitively understand these trade-offs. When Apple designed the MacBook Air to be exceptionally light, they accepted limitations on memory and ports. Volvo prioritizes safety over sportiness, investing heavily in crash testing and protective features, while accepting lower performance ratings. Zara uses low-cost materials to achieve fashion immediacy, sacrificing durability for speed to market. Service managers, however, often behave as if trade-offs don't apply to them, attempting to be lowest cost, highest quality, and fastest moving simultaneously. This unrealistic approach breeds cynicism among frontline employees who face these trade-offs daily, while management denies reality.
The key is identifying what matters most to your target customers and being willing to disappoint them in less important areas. This requires creating attribute maps that chart service elements by customer importance and your performance relative to competitors. For example, a budget hotel might excel at cleanliness and location while deliberately underperforming on amenities and room size. A fine dining restaurant might prioritize food quality and ambiance while accepting longer wait times. The ideal pattern shows excellence in what customers value most and strategic underperformance in what they value least, creating a distinctive diagonal line from bottom left to top right that represents a coherent service strategy. Companies that master this approach create clear value propositions that resonate with their target market while maintaining operational efficiency.
Even when you've designed a brilliant service model,
someone still has to pay for it. Without a reliable funding mechanism built directly into your approach, you risk delivering gratuitous service that customers happily consume but never pay for. Celebrity Cruises discovered this with their 150 Tastes of Luxury initiative. Customers loved being greeted with champagne and enjoying enhanced amenities, but would they actually pay for these extras? Successful service models incorporate one of four funding mechanisms: charging customers more in a palatable way, making cost reductions that improve service, making service improvements that reduce costs, or getting customers to do the work themselves. The first approach, getting customers to pay more, requires making the pricing palatable. Commerce Bank solved this by offering deposit rates half a percentage point lower than competitors. Customers essentially paid for better service daily without feeling nickel and dimed. Similarly, Starbucks builds lingering time into its premium coffee prices, and investment brokers cover personalized service through higher transaction fees rather than charging for each interaction. Customer reactions to pricing depend heavily on the implicit service contract. When major airlines began charging for extras during the 2008 fuel crisis, Southwest maintained its freedom from fees position to customers' delight. Meanwhile, ultra-discounters like Spirit Air successfully charge for everything because their initial bargain prices set appropriate expectations. What provokes rebellion isn't necessarily the fees themselves, but violations of the original customer contract and lack of transparency. Most so-called loyalty programs are merely customer retention schemes that bribe customers to stick around through discounts. True loyalty programs provide additional service features to best customers that increase their commitment and willingness to pay premium prices. European grocer Asda exemplifies authentic loyalty programming by involving loyal customers in strategic decisions about product offerings and store layouts, giving them early product access, and even sharing 5% of first-year savings from customer-generated ideas. Sometimes service improvements can actually reduce costs. Progressive Insurance deploys immediate response vans to accident scenes. While this requires significant investment, it dramatically reduces fraud and legal costs that typically represent $15 of every $100 in industry premiums. When adjusters arrive quickly, with sharp eyes and open hearts, they can verify what happened firsthand and humanize the company by asking, "Are you okay?" making customers less likely to involve lawyers. Self-service, when done right, can fund exceptional service by reducing costs while improving the customer experience. The key insight: self-service must be so good that customers prefer it to readily available full-service alternatives. Airline check-in kiosks succeed because they transform complex employee systems into simple customer interfaces that provide better functionality than the full-service alternative. The seat selection chart gives travelers more control and information than any interaction with an agent.
When service consistently disappoints despite good intentions, the problem isn't your employees, it's the system they operate in. Most companies deliver inconsistent service, with occasional excellence that misleadingly suggests more effort is the solution. But these try-harder solutions ignore two realities. Not all employees are superheroes, and increasing operational complexity makes their jobs nearly impossible. In one quick-service restaurant, menu items quadrupled, while the ways to ring up their signature drink ballooned to 55. At a telecom company, systems became so complex that training took 13 months, but average employee tenure was only 9, driving customer satisfaction down to 30%. We're designing jobs for superhumans while employing mere mortals. A functional service model requires employees who are both able and motivated to achieve excellence. The able part comes from selection, training, and job designs that set up real employees to succeed. The motivated part requires performance management that makes them want to excel.
Bugs Burger Bug Killers built an extraordinary service business through an integrated employee management system. As America's largest independent exterminator, BBBK grew at over 20% annually by offering complete pest elimination, not just control, with a guarantee that clients would receive a full refund plus a year of competitor service if they failed. This allowed them to charge 4 to 10 times industry rates.
BBBK's competitive advantage came from its frontline service specialists, who were treated as the organization's privileged class. Their rigorous selection process included multiple interview rounds with both applicants and their families, since supportive networks were crucial for the night shift lifestyle. Only 2-3% of applicants made it to final rounds after personality and aptitude testing. The company invested an extraordinary 5 months in training new hires, far beyond the industry standard of a few weeks. This $30,000 investment focused on both technical skills and cultural immersion, with Bugs himself participating in each class. Great service companies use training to screen out misfits early. Commerce Bank starts orientation by having new hires answer imaginary phones with enthusiasm, causing the less enthusiastic to leave immediately.
Some companies achieve service excellence through intuitive job design rather than extensive training. LSQ Funding Group automated complex financial processes with user-friendly IT systems, allowing new employees to feel immediately capable and empowered. This approach lets LSQ hire for attitude rather than technical skills. Similarly, Southwest simplified operations by using only Boeing 737s and eliminating baggage transfers to other airlines. Performance management creates incentives for good work and disincentives for poor performance. BBBK offered attractive financial incentives alongside rigorous accountability. Their quality control team made surprise inspections, creating what specialists called pressure, but it helps you keep up your standards. The company protected specialists from non-compliant customers by dropping clients who didn't follow cleanup protocols.
When customers participate in service delivery, they become customer operators who dramatically impact service quality and efficiency. Unlike employees, these unpaid, untrained, and unmotivated participants bring significant variability into operations through differences in arrival times, requests, capabilities, effort levels, and preferences. This phenomenon has become increasingly important in the modern service economy, where self-service technologies and customer participation are becoming the norm rather than the exception. Customer variability manifests in 5 key forms: arrival, timing, request, service needs, capability, skills and knowledge, effort, willingness to participate, and preference, quality definitions. For example, in a restaurant setting, customers arrive at unpredictable times, order custom modifications, possess varying abilities to use digital ordering systems, demonstrate different levels of patience with wait times, and hold diverse expectations about portion sizes and food preparation. Companies can either reduce variability, favoring efficiency, or accommodate it, favoring service quality. Reduction strategies like menus and reservations limit customer options, while accommodation strategies add slack and experienced staff who can adapt. Fast food chains like McDonald's reduce variability through standardized menus, while fine dining restaurants accommodate it through flexible service and customization.
Schudice Hospital revolutionized hernia surgery through a patient-centered approach that transforms customers into active participants in their own care. Sounded in the 1930s, when Dr. Earl Schudice observed that patients who moved around recovered faster, the hospital developed a methodology combining innovative surgical techniques with early ambulation. Patients arrive as a class, receive orientation together, and learn from post-operative patients during evening mixers. The hospital creates a supportive community environment where experienced patients mentor newcomers, sharing tips and encouragement. After surgery, patients walk immediately to recovery rooms and are encouraged to remain active throughout their stay, participating in group activities and exercises. This approach has resulted in a remarkable 1% recurrence rate versus 6% elsewhere across more than 300,000 procedures, demonstrating how effective customer participation can lead to superior outcomes.
To create an effective customer management system, companies should apply the same strategic thinking used for employee management. Just as Schudice Hospital carefully selects patients who fit their service model, companies should be deliberate about which customers they serve. Progressive Insurance exemplifies this approach by using their comparison quote service to subtly direct customers cost-sensitive and potentially higher risk to competitors.
They've developed sophisticated algorithms to identify and attract profitable customers while maintaining positive relationships with those they choose not to serve. Even well-selected customers need training to perform their roles effectively. Starbucks takes a subtle approach, using ordering booklets and barista repetition to train customers in Starbucks speak without them fully realizing they're being trained. When baristas repeat orders back using company terminology, grande instead of medium, they're subtly teaching proper ordering protocol, while social pressure from other customers in line reinforces compliance. This linguistic training has become so effective that Starbucks terminology has entered common usage.
Managers often mistakenly expect customers to be as skilled as employees, sometimes placing even greater operational burdens on them than on staff. The key is to think airline kiosk check-in, not supermarket checkout. Be thoughtful about what you're asking customers to do. Brazilian retailer Magazine Luiza defies conventional wisdom by successfully serving poor, unbanked, often illiterate customers through a combination of virtual stores and employee customer mentorship. Their stripped-down stores feature just computers and desks rather than physical inventory, with salespeople tutoring customers in online shopping and the concept of buying on credit. This innovative approach has allowed them to expand into underserved markets while maintaining low operational costs and high customer satisfaction.
Great service design creates an intuitive, reassuring experience that respects people as living beings. However, even the best-designed service model requires the right culture to bring it to life. Both elements must align toward the organization's critical success factors. Southwest Airlines exemplifies cultural alignment with its service model. Their key operational imperative, faster gate turnaround times, requires exceptional cross-functional collaboration. Southwest's egalitarian culture supports this through team late penalties that encourage everyone to pitch in when planes arrive behind schedule. This cultural consistency extends to less visible decisions. Despite having more unionized employees than competitors, Southwest maintains better employee relations by avoiding layoffs, trading expansion limits for job stability in exchange for flexible job descriptions. IDEO, the global design firm famous for creating the first Apple Mouse and redesigning shopping carts in just 4 days, demonstrates how culture manifests through visible choices and behaviors. Since creativity is IDEO's lifeblood, its culture nurtures innovation through unconventional practices, no dress code, ad hoc workspaces, and a tech box of industrial design artifacts for inspiration. Their brainstorming process encourages wild ideas, defers judgment, builds on others' contributions without concern for credit, and prioritizes quantity over quality initially.
Zappos exemplifies clarity and cultural vision with its exceptional customer service, taking orders until midnight with next-day delivery, offering free returns, and even helping customers find products from competitors when needed. Their 75% repeat customer rate stems from a culture championed by CEO Tony Hsieh, who articulates 10 core values, including deliver wow through service and create fun and a little weirdness. This culture drives remarkable employee loyalty. When their call center relocated from California to Las Vegas, 80% of employees moved for $13 per hour jobs. Leaders must consistently signal cultural priorities through visible actions. JetBlue founder David Neeleman exemplified this by serving as a crew member monthly, demonstrating that everyone is in service to customers and that no one is above doing what needs to be done. The most powerful cultural signaling happens during imprinting periods, particularly employees' first days, when their minds are most receptive.
At Sewell Automotive, culture transmission begins with storytelling. New recruits gather to hear senior leaders share true tales of service excellence that bring company values to life. Some stories are legendary, like the repair technician who drove from Dallas to San Antonio overnight to replace a customer's battery. Others are recent, like the cashier who gave customers flowers that would otherwise be discarded. These stories serve two purposes:
setting clear standards, and giving employees permission to act in service-oriented ways.
Growth becomes inevitable for successful service organizations, whether driven by shareholder pressure, the need to create opportunities for employees, or simply to keep things interesting. Companies can grow in two ways: doing more of what they already do well, or diversifying into different services. The challenge is scaling without sacrificing excellence. This tension between growth and quality has become particularly acute in today's fast-paced business environment, where rapid expansion often leads to deteriorating service standards. Most companies begin with an opportunistic growth approach, customizing services for early customers to survive. This early stage typically involves saying yes to nearly every customer request, leading to highly personalized but difficult-to-scale solutions. Eventually, they must shift from customization to standardization to achieve sustainable growth, though this transition often feels uncomfortable, as if sacrificing customer needs for efficiency. This pivot point is where many service organizations stumble, either by maintaining unsustainable customization or overcorrecting toward rigid standardization.
The authors challenge this trade-off, arguing that excellence and growth can coexist through thoughtful service design. They contrast Orient Express hotels with Four Seasons. Both deliver exceptional quality, but Four Seasons uses high standardization that enables scaling, while Orient Express uses high customization that limits growth. Four Seasons' refined consistency allows them to deliver excellence that feels personalized without the operational complexity of true customization. They achieve this through carefully designed service protocols that allow for controlled variation within standardized frameworks. Rackspace's transformation from a $12 million company to an $800 million enterprise in just 10 years exemplifies successful scaling through service model innovation. Initially offering server hardware rental with minimal support, the company faced a crisis when it ran out of money. This financial constraint forced a breakthrough realization. Contrary to industry assumptions, premium, fanatical service could be viable. The company discovered that customers would gladly pay more for reliable, responsive support in an industry known for impersonal technical service.
Rackspace rebuilt around four key elements. 1, a clear trade-off of higher prices for high-touch service, positioning themselves as a premium provider in a commodity market. 2, funding this premium service through customer retention, satisfied customers being 10 times more profitable than new ones, with a focus on lifetime customer value rather than short-term profits. 3, an employee management system based on values-based hiring, team incentives, and frontline decision rights, creating a culture of empowered service delivery. And 4, rigorous tracking tools making customer profitability transparent to guide employee decisions, enabling data-driven service optimization. When your service model becomes unwieldy trying to satisfy diverse customer needs, you become vulnerable to focused competitors who target specific segments with specialized offerings. Rather than expanding a single model to do everything, successful defenders often become multi-focused firms with multiple optimized service models under one corporate umbrella. Best Buy created Magnolia as a store within a store to serve high-end customers without confusing its core price-sensitive demographic. Similarly, Armani launched AX to reach younger customers with different service expectations while maintaining its luxury positioning in its mainline.
The brilliance of multi-focused firms is that while consumers experience vastly different service models, these businesses share back-end processes, creating operational efficiencies. Best Buy and Magnolia share real estate, inventory systems, and supply chain infrastructure, despite offering radically different experiences, one bright and bustling, the other serene and curated. This shared services structure allows companies to compete with focused players while gaining advantages from linking multiple models together. Other successful examples include Marriott International's portfolio of hotel brands and Toyota's Lexus division, each serving distinct market segments while leveraging common corporate resources and expertise.
The path to uncommon service demands more than just good intentions. It requires brutal honesty and clear-eyed self-assessment. service organizations frequently fall into the trap of self-deception, convincing themselves they can excel at everything while simultaneously blaming employees for shortcomings or assuming customers won't notice when commitments are compromised. This pattern rarely leads to immediate failure, but instead creates a persistent state of mediocrity that becomes increasingly difficult to escape. When organizations honestly examine their operations, they often uncover surprising truths. Employees who possess a genuine desire to serve but lack proper system support. Customers who are willing to actively participate in service delivery when given the opportunity. And organizational structures capable of rapid, meaningful transformation when properly directed. The case of Carlos Rodriguez Castor's transformation of Interbank in Peru serves as a powerful example of this potential. By refusing to accept mediocrity, he built an $8 billion portfolio of service businesses that didn't just transform individual companies, but helped reshape an entire nation's mindset. The shift from Peru's traditional "si pero, yes but" attitude to an empowered "si Peru, yes Peru" demonstrates how excellence in service can catalyze broader societal change and economic prosperity.
The fundamental equation that drives service excellence appears deceptively simple. Service excellence equals design times culture. This multiplicative relationship carries profound implications. Both factors carry equal weight, meaning organizations can compensate for weaknesses in one area with particular strength in the other. A robust culture can help overcome design limitations, while superior service design can help support a developing culture. However, the multiplication sign is crucial. If either factor approaches zero, excellence becomes mathematically impossible, regardless of how strong the other element might be. This explains why organizations often fail despite having either great people or great systems, but not both. The courage to be exceptional requires embracing four uncomfortable truths that many organizations resist. 1, you can't be good at everything. Strategic excellence requires making clear trade-offs and choosing specific areas where you'll be outstanding, while accepting being merely adequate in others. 2, someone has to pay for service excellence. Superior service requires investment, whether through higher prices, operational efficiencies, or customer participation in service delivery. 3, it's not your employee's fault when systems fail. Poor service typically stems from systemic issues rather than individual performance, requiring leaders to focus on fixing processes rather than blaming people.
4, customers need clear guidance to play their role. Successful service experiences often require customer participation, but organizations must actively design and communicate how customers can contribute effectively. By accepting these fundamental realities and designing service models that work with them rather than against them, organizations can achieve the uncommon service that creates lasting competitive advantages. This approach builds loyal customer relationships, fosters engaged employees who feel empowered to serve effectively, and creates sustainable business models that can weather competitive pressures and changing market conditions.